Well, we have made it through to the end of 2020, haven't we? This next week, we are welcoming a new year with new challenges and new opportunities, and I want to be the first to welcome you to the year 2021 and to wish you all a happy new year. And it's at the end and the beginning of another year that I like to reflect back. Like I told the kids this morning, I liked to reflect to see how God has brought me through different things in the year before, how I've grown, how I've learned, how I've made the most of opportunities and didn't make the most of other opportunities and failed to take advantage of others. And one way I do this is by reviewing some of the highlights of the year. And that's what we're going to do this morning, is kind of go through some of the highlights that we studied this last year in our worship services here. We look at their six major sermon series that I preached this last year that help remind us what we've learned. Because by looking back and remembering, we can look forward in thanksgiving for all God's going to bring to us. Okay, so as we turn the picture from 2020 to 2021, let's look back here. We started the year with a look at the life of Jesus and the I am statements of Jesus and how he made of himself and how they're all related. Like the bread of life and the light of the world, the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then I'm the vine. And one of the things I learned through this series was that all these sayings were connected in some way to a miracle that Jesus did. The bread of life was mentioned after the feeding of the 5,000. And so there was kind of a connection between that bread that he gave to them and how he says, well, I'm the bread. That Jesus was not just performing a miracle to gain notoriety or to feed people who were hungry, which it did, but it tied together who he was and why he had come down to earth. He was like that miraculous bread that God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness, in the desert, and how he would provide life-giving food to them as well. And messages about being the light of the world likewise was linked to the giving of sight to the blind and giving him light to see. I'm the resurrection and the life was spoken just before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So throughout this series, we saw that Jesus was indeed claiming to be God by saying, I am, but by proving it also with the miracles that he came from God. And I like that fact that Jesus uses these actions to back up his words. And they also help us to tell others about Jesus. Because you see our year-long verse that's been on most of our bulletins, if you look at in front of your bulletins, almost every week on the front cover of our bulletin has been our verse of the year, which if you don't have your bulletins is, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. See, just as Jesus did his good deeds and let his deeds praise God in heaven, we too need to show our deeds and let our light shine. So, by showing how Jesus used these miracles and good deeds to claim his deity, people would give God the glory instead of keeping it for himself. We then went on and looked at the last words of Jesus. 8 weeks before Easter, we started this series, which I entitled The Seven Last Words of Jesus. And as Jesus was dying on the cross, he spoke these seven last phrases that the gospel writers record. Those last 6 hours of his life gave Jesus some of his most powerful sermons, and yet they're not very long sermons, were they? They're just a few phrases, a word or two, that told who he was. But the meaning behind them was in the impact. You could have preached hour-long sermons on them. They were words of life from the tree of death, and I remember that many times. I noticed how they were words of life from that tree of death. And I used several different books to piece together some of the incredible mental images of what each of these words meant. We looked at words like, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And the forgiveness that Jesus offered, not just to those who were surrounding him, but to us as well. Words like, with his dying breath, you will be with me in paradise, or here's your mother, or here's your son, furthered that sense of forgiveness and hope. And so we studied all these words. And in the middle of the series, you remember that we had a very nice man come called Justin Crom. And unfortunately, I don't have any pictures from when he was here, but he showed us the Passover meal, right? We had the table up front here with the different elements. And he went through the Passover meal according to the Jewish tradition and how it also applied to Jesus. Those who were with us here participated in that experience and learned a lot about the Passover. I did myself. And the Jewish traditions and how they pointed to Jesus. And the very next day, who the next day would suffer and die for our sins. And if you missed any of those messages so far, including Justin's, we still have those online that you can download and you can listen to. So just to get on our website and you can listen to all of our messages that I mentioned before, as well as ones afterwards, including Justin's message, which was tremendous. Justin's, we had to put in two different pieces because it was so long, but it blessed us incredibly a lot. But that was the last service before we suddenly had to close the church, right? We had Justin here that week, and then the next week, none of us were here in the sanctuary because of the shutdown. COVID-19 struck, and we had to close services. Everything was starting to close down in the United States and to try to contain the virus and kind of keep it from overwhelming the healthcare system. And so after prayerful consideration, the elders board and I decided to close the doors, like many other churches in our area and in our nation, to public services, and we started broadcasting over the internet and on Facebook. And it was the first time our services, I think, got broadcast onto Facebook. And so you guys got to see me preaching online. And it's all me preaching from my office. And so, again, if you have not seen those services, you can more than welcome to continue on that series that was still in our series then of the last words of Jesus. We were finishing up that before Easter. And I so much wanted to have Easter service in the sanctuary. I know I knew that when we closed with COVID, I thought, oh, this means that we won't be able to have Easter probably, because I was hoping to wait to Easter, then close the church, but that just was not possible. And so I was able to just do it online here, and I was able to record my sermons on my laptop in my office. I was able to edit out any mistakes, because sometimes you can't do that here live. But I was able to add in slides and scripture quotes and upload it to Facebook. And it was not perfect, and my nerves kind of got a hold of me sometimes, because, again, that was the first time I was preaching to a worldwide audience type of thing, whoever would listen in. And so that was kind of difficult for me. But like I said, other churches did the same, and we learned how, even in the shutdown due to the COVID virus, the message of Jesus was brought forth. I finished those series of messages with a grand Easter celebration. We were able to actually come to the service here and be able to have our Easter morning service with that. So I didn't want to have music on that, but anyways, I thought I had that muted. So we finished up that here with the Easter morning worship live on Facebook. And we've come a bit further since that broadcast there, and we were able to do a little bit more with it now. But it's good to have music here again on that Easter Sunday. But then we got into our next series called Majoring on the Minors. We focus on the set of books in the Old Testament known as the Minor Prophets. And we saw that they were only minor in size because the message behind them was very significant. In fact, their message was major, just as major as some other prophets. And I start off with this quote from Philip Yancey about how we think about the Old Testament prophets sometime. He says, "In short, when I thought about the prophets at all, I had the image of a fussy old man wagging their fingers at the world, the same image that has inspired countless characters in magazine cartoons. But after looking at them deeper," he says, "far from that prior stereotype of fussy finger waggers, I found the prophets to be the most modern writers imaginable." In fact, even I thought that this study was very timely in the midst of this COVID virus. I had planned going through the Minor Prophets months before the COVID hit. But going through these messages about how God brought them through different trials and tribulations and how God was watching out for them and how much God loved them taught us a lot, I think, and taught me a lot. They inspired me and hopefully you to be able to see how God has answers in his word for problems even today. Hosea taught us that God loves the world and how much he loves the world by showing love through changing our names. Remember those crazy names Hosea had of his children? not loved, not my people, and city of horrors, and how Jose was asked to love his prostitute wife and to show God's love even when she went astray. We saw in Amos how God was like a shepherd, because Amos was a shepherd man who uses a lot of shepherd imagery to teach us how that God is a great shepherd caring for us. Jonah was another minor prophet that we looked at, and how God wanted to get us our attention, and how just God got Jonah's attention, and how God might be using the coronavirus to get our attention too, to get us to pay attention to the message that he wants to deliver. And others like Habakkuk taught us how and why God uses evil things in the world for his good and well-being. God is in control in Zephaniah, and how he looks forward to this day of the Lord. That Haggai was encouraged to build a temple, and how we need to build God's temple in our hearts to make a place for God in ourselves. And it was during that series that we were able to open up back under protocols, and we were able to wear our masks and come attend their services. And I want to thank you for all your help with that. We've been keeping the virus out of our church as much as possible, and we've been keeping our mask on. I thank you so much for doing that, and for not shaking hands or hugging, even though I know that's something that I love to do and hard for us to do, but it allowed us to stay open and not be a source of spreading the virus. And so in the midst of this, prophets, we also talked with the Mother's Day sermon. We had a Father's Day sermon as well, and a week that Pastor Marvin spoke while I was away on vacation. So we had a lot to go this summer, didn't we, with this whole thing during this majoring on the minors. And that brings us to what we did in the late summer and late fall. And I wanted to do something to kind of inspire everyone, that especially something that I wanted to do because I learned this in college, that this was one way to preach, is to give sermons from other people, that sermons I wish I had written. And I thought it was a pretty good series because there were sermons from other great preachers. I know I love preaching and I love doing it, but there are other people around that do it much better than I do, I have to admit. I'm not perfect at it, but the guys, we heard from a lot of preachers that during that sermon. We heard from great preachers, from Jesus to John Wesley to Billy Graham to modern day folks like Andy Stanley. And each one had their own flair and style. And some were methodical when they go through the scriptures, and some were more free-flowing and just going away. And some of the modern ones we were actually be able to see on videos, didn't we? We saw Andy Stanley, and how he taught us what a Christian means, and does it mean what we think it means sometimes, and how people can define Christian in different ways, because it's not really defined in the Bible. But then he says there is a word that we need to be called, to disciples, because that is well defined in the Bible. What a disciple means, and that's what we need to strive for, is to be a disciple, not a Christian. Another video we saw was of Mike Bro, and how the importance of making ripples, and how we need to take life like a big cannonball, is what an illustration he used, to just jump in and make those ripples that touch other lives, and those ripples touch other lives, and those ripples touch other lives, and how we need to be people that show God's love to others, and that will just make a ripple effect on down the road. I love that. I tried preaching in the style of the preachers that was in the first Great Awakening. I preached John Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I preached Jesus' sermon on the Mount. I preached John Wesley's sermon about almost a Christian, how almost Christians are almost Christians, but not quite, because they're not altogether Christians. And the difference between the two, between what altogether Christians means and what almost Christians mean. And then I finished the sermon series with one of my favorite sermons that I've heard, although the preacher was somewhat unknown. You might not know who Shadrach, Meshach, Lockhart was, but you definitely know his phrase, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." I heard some of it out there. Sunday's coming, right? I love that sermon. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And so I hope this series on sermons I wish I'd written encouraged your hearts. Even though they're not my creation, I hope they showed you the styles and ideas from other people as well. I know I preached them and watched the videos they spoke to me. And again, reminding me of the verse that we had for the year, that we need to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And so, I like that series a lot. probably won't do it again, but again, it was a good series. We might hear some other preachers too. I don't know. We might do another series. Anyways, we'll see what happens in 2021. But it was during this time, during this series, that we've kind of had a little interruptions to regular services. And we had a missionary come. The only missionary we had come this year, it was Shallon. And she came home from the mission field because of COVID, and she came to our church during that time. And she was, like I said, the only missionary we heard in person this year. I'm hoping to get some more next year. But because of the COVID, they were not able to come this year. But then just a few weeks ago, the Esther School, where Shallon is a missionary to, had a video that they brought online here. And so this is kind of an update. We heard several of the concerns that Shallon had. They were having water problems, if you remember, at that time, and they're digging more wells and trying to get things put together, new building put up and things. And so here's kind of an update that the Esther School put out here. So take a few moments to watch this video of the progress there at the Esther School. Oops. Come on now, play. Don't do this to me. Oh, come on now. Why is it playing? It played earlier. Just a second here. Let me see. Okay. I'm going to try to get it from a different spot here. Play. I'm sorry about this. It's finally playing through my slide here. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to watch that that slide there, it's on Facebook, so or on YouTube, so you can view it there. Let me see if I can get back to my original slides now. So, by the way, Shalyn is headed to go back there on the 6th of January, so continue to pray for her as well. We also heard that during that time from the Teen and Adult Challenge Group, and that series, that is always fun to hear their songs and testimonies on how God is changing and challenging in their lives. And so they came during that time as well. Then we had our final series of the year, and that's Living with Joy. We looked at the book of Philippians, and how that was, how we knew that that book of Philippians was talked about a lot about joy, but we might not have known why or exactly where it means to be joyful and how to be joyful. And so we studied through that series that in order to live with joy, that we need to change the way we live in other ways. So we need to live with abundant love and live with Christ or for Christ and live worthy lives. Live like stars, like Timothy and Epaphroditus that we saw there. Live by faith. Live with the end in mind, not just the current situation, but look at the head and look at living examples and to live contentedly and how all these things bring us joy if we have that. And as we learned, most of them surrounding these passages kind of surrounded the middle of that book there, how Christ was mentioned there in the book, that our attitude should be the same of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And how we need to look humbly upon ourselves and be humble. And how we need to look out for the interests of other people. Not for also look out not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others, as it says there in Philippians chapter 2. And we learned a song there in that time where it talked about Jesus and others and you. A wonderful way to spell joy. And I hope that kind of brought a little bit of joy toward the end of this year that did not have a lot of joy in it sometimes. And how we can live in that kind of situation. And I hope that we can continue to learn through that series this next year, that it will continue to live in our lives, that our lives will be full of joy, and despite whatever circumstances we go through, because if you remember, that book of Philippians was written by Paul from a jail cell, and how he, in his circumstances, was able still to praise and glorify God with joy. And then we came to our final series of the year, the Advent series, where he talked about the candles of the Advent. And this year, our Advent series was the most wonderful time of the year and how much wonder is in this year. And even through the Christmases past, I wanted to, even though Christmas is past now, and I wanted to play the song again that we had our theme around here. Because I just think that I was listening to the radio here this last week, and there were no Christmas carols on Saturday. I was listening to it yesterday, and I thought, well, they should have Christmas carols throughout all of December, not just up to Christmas Day. And so one last time, let me play for you the Dino version of It's a Most Wonderful Time of Year. Come on now. It's not working today. Why isn't it working today? Well, I guess I won't. Should I just sing it for you? Anyways, we had all kinds of music during that time as well, and so I appreciate that this morning. I wish it was working, but it's not. So I'm not going to fool with it anymore today. But this, during this series, we looked at how the Bible and all the wonderful times that it talks about, especially as it relates to Christmas, how God had these wonderful gifts that he's given to us and how he's given us wonderful grace. And that wonderful grace of Jesus that we sang this morning was one example of that. And the wonderful names of Jesus and wonderful counselor and all the rest. And then finally, the wonderful deeds that's kind of surrounded his birth and all that God has given to us and blessed us with, encouraged us to go through this Christmas season. And I hope that you are filled with wonder as we went through this time. And I hope once again that this wonder will help you let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I think that was a perfect verse that kind of encapsulated last year, even though I didn't know that this is going to happen all this last year. How it's so amazing how God just does that. He just brings a verse along and says, "Hey, this is a good verse for the year." And I appreciate how He has guided me through that as well, because of that's we've been through quite a year this last year, and how that kind of allowing us to show others that. So, what has God taught you this year? That's the question I put in your bulletin this morning. What did God teach you this year? Was it something connecting with the I Am statements, the miracles that He did? Was it something He said as He died on the cross that made an impact in your life? Was it Justin Crom's Passover meal? Was it something in the Minor Prophets that made a major impact on you? Was it from a sermon that I did not even write that kind of made an impact? That's okay too. Was it from the book of Philippians and how to be joyful and live a life of joy? Or was it from this time of year, it's the most wonderful time of year? Or maybe He connected you in a personal way some other way, not through the messages. How has God grown you this last year? How has He improved upon your life? How have you continued to grow in this last year? And I want that growth to continue here as we go into this new year, 2021, because I've already started to plan on what we're going to speak about this next year and what the sermons are going to be and how it kind of outlines for the year. I picked out our theme verse for this next year, and you'll be able to see it on your calendar. If you look at your calendar that you got in your mailbox, if you have that, it's at the bottom there, so you can kind of get a preview of for before next week. That's the verse from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and I didn't put up on the screen here. I don't know why. But it says, let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And so that's going to be kind of our theme verse for this next year. Let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And we're going to start looking this year, start the year off this next Sunday with looking at some Old Testament characters who spurred the children of Israel on toward love and good deeds, and how they impacted the children of Israel. And then we're going to go to the one another themes, and you'll be surprised how many times, oh, I did put it in there, it's just next slide, how many one another's is in the Bibles, in the New Testament especially. Things like love one another, or serve one another, or as our memory verse says, let us consider how to spur one another on to good deeds. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to hear from some. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to hear from more missionaries this summer as well, as they come. That's something I missed this last year. And of course, as I plan a calendar, I'm planning a little vacation this summer, and so I'll be off for a couple weeks then. But there are other things that God has in store that I know God's going to bring out for next year. And so I want us to look forward to what's going to happen and continue to grow in Christ. So one of the things I would encourage you to continue to do is continue attending. We're going to stay open as long as we can during this COVID thing, and meet in person. We're also going to continue posting online on Facebook. So if you cannot make it one Sunday for sicknesses or whatever, you're more than welcome to come online, log in. And I know that if we continue to meet together, if we continue to build one another up, again, that's another one another, build one another up. Another one was continue meeting with one another, we'll see. But God will bless us, I think, if we look into this new year and look forward to what God's going to do for us this morning. So let's really close this morning in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank You so much for this time that we can look back and to see how You've ministered to our lives this last year. You've helped us and grown us. You've helped us to in the difficult times. You've helped us in the good times. You've been through us with sickness and some of our members passing away this last year, but You've encouraged our hearts with the messages that You've been given, that's been given to me through this pulpit, and we just thank You so much for how good You're going to be to us this next year, because we know that no matter what happens, You're still going to be good to us and faithful and just to forgive us anything, to love us with all that You have. This is all we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.